Welcome to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast, covering a range of legal topics, including updates from our four practice groups: private client, real estate, business services, and dispute resolution.
Hi everyone, and welcome to the Wedlake Bell Quarterly in Advance podcast. My name's Rob McKellar, and I'm an associate in the commercial real estate team. I wrote the Time at the Bar article in the most recent QIA concerning the hospitality industry and COVID, the content of which I'll be summarising on this podcast. Alongside me is Ben Dunbar, a senior associate also from the commercial real estate team, and the author of the Dear Ben article concerning pop-up shops and restaurants. We'll also be doing our best to canter through the articles produced by our colleagues, being a summary of a recent case concerning telecom masts and redevelopment by commercial real estate solicitor Rebecca Bridgen, a discussion on racism in the workplace by employment senior associate Laura Conway and employment solicitor Emily Daly, commercial real estate senior associate Catherine Evans makes some predictions on the future of co-working, and planning partner Matthew Mainston and planning associate Tom Moritz discuss the latest planning law changes. But first, it's over to you, Ben, for your hotly anticipated Agony Uncle column, Dear Ben.
Thanks, Rob. As we speak, we're in the midst of another lockdown, and a number of tenants are obviously struggling, none more so than in the hospitality, leisure and retail sectors. I've written an article in my guise as resident agony uncle that may be highly relevant to many of our readers. I respond to a question about disposing of premises. A restaurant owner, struggling with profitability even before coronavirus, wants to dispose of his premises. He's been approached by an entrepreneur who wants to try a pop-up cafe at a low rent. Now, this will be a position relevant to many readers looking to dispose altogether of some of their premises, or trying to reduce property costs by entering perhaps into a space sharing arrangement. Now, unfortunately, leases are pretty old-fashioned, and while sharing and pop-ups as concepts might be becoming commonplace, the world of leases is struggling to catch up at the moment. I discuss in this article what you can and cannot do as a tenant in terms of disposing of your leasehold premises. Now, as we say, it's the hospitality sector who've been hit worse so far by the economic income shock of the pandemic. Rob, you've written an article looking at some of the COVID-related challenges for the hospitality industry, I believe.
Thanks, Ben. 2020 was a challenging year for everyone, except shareholders of Zoom, mask manufacturers, and the population of New Zealand. But it was particularly tough for Britain's fantastic hospitality industry. As part of the most recent QIA, I had a look at a few things to consider if you are a pub, restaurant or hotel, reopening hopefully soon in 2021. Now, first off, outdoor seating. I certainly spent several weekends in the late summer huddling increasingly closer to a space heater in a pub garden, and done correctly, the use of an outdoor area can be a benefit to any hospitality space. If the space you're considering is a publicly owned pedestrian footpath, however, you will most likely require a pavement licence from your local authority. The licence fee is currently capped at £100 and will run until the end of September 2021. Any furniture used must be removable when you're closed, and you will have to provide evidence that your seating doesn't obstruct foot traffic and is in line with any COVID regulations of the time. Similarly, if the outdoor space you want to use is on private land, then you will need to discuss a license to occupy with your landlord, or the owner of the land. And next up is nuisance. It won't come as a surprise to anyone who's ever lived near a food outlet, but they can attract both noise and smell complaints from neighbours. In fact, a friend of mine's first flat in London was above a KFC on Clapham High Street, and the noise and rubbish created on a Saturday night was an incredible scene to behold. I think they decided they had to move out when they started having bargain buckets for breakfast. As a commercial tenant, it's important to keep an eye on patrons, leftover food and rubbish, especially during the evening where there may be a reasonable expectation of peace and quiet from neighbours. Noise complaints will be dealt with by the council, but your lease will likely include a covenant not to cause nuisance or inconvenience too. Indoor seating. We're all hopeful that with increased vaccinations, the British public will be able to enjoy indoor dining and drinking in the nearest future. It is likely, however, that as we move back down through the tiers, there will still be the relevant distancing provisions in place. If you're putting up temporary barriers between tables, this will most likely fall within what is known as internal demountable partitioning and not require landlord's consent. Similarly, if you're just removing tables in order to allow 2 metres between each group, that shouldn't require a licence from your landlord. If you are considering permanent alterations, such as an improved ventilation system, then we do recommend consulting your landlord. Lastly, the premises licence. When you apply for a licence to serve alcohol, you submit a layout plan to your local council. If you make any alterations to that layout, you'll need to apply to vary the licence. Small changes can be dealt with by a minor variation to your existing licence. If it's wholesale changes, then a full application will be required. Well, that's it from me on the hospitality industry. Over to you, Ben.
Thanks for that, Rob. After that, we come to an article, thankfully, with nothing to do with COVID. At least nothing to do with COVID, unless you're a conspiracy theorist, because it's all about telecoms masks. The Electronic Communications Code gives telecoms companies extensive rights to stay on a property once they've got their telecommunications equipment there. Rebecca Brigden's article discusses a recent case, Cornerstone Telecommunications Infrastructure Limited versus University of the Arts London, which will be of great interest to developers. It concerns buildings in Elephant and Castle, London, which were earmarked for major redevelopment, one of which was due to be demolished, but it had a telecoms mast on the roof. Now, telecoms operators can only exercise their right to security of tenure where the prejudice caused to the landowner doesn't outweigh the public benefit in having access to a telecoms network. Now, here, the prejudice was held to be of a very high level. The case explains what sort of prejudice may qualify. Here, the upper tribunal refused to grant the telecoms company permanent rights.
Senior associate Catherine Evans has been reviewing co-working and its post-pandemic future. In my time, I have visited and enjoyed various co-working spaces, from the well-known WeWork to smaller independent venues. And personally, I think if you look past some of the gaudier add-ons like free beer on tap, which I'm not knocking but also was not paying for, and the same three guys always hogging the ping pong table, it is a setup which is here to stay. As Catherine says, co-working in a nutshell is the sharing of office space in exchange for a membership fee, based on hot desking, your own designated desk or private office requirements. Interest in co-working spaces has soared in the last few years, predominantly driven by startups, but also by large occupiers looking to provide perks and a cool location to their workforce. Occupancy levels in 2020 plummeted, not just because companies were cutting costs and staff were working from home, but also because the idea of hot desking during a pandemic felt unnecessarily risky. Going forward, we think that there will be a desire for co-working located near major transport hubs, so employees can get off the train or tube and straight into their office. I know from experience that the most sapping part of a journey is when you get off public transport and onto another form of public transport. The Luton Airport bus taking you from the airport to a train station being the worst of all worlds. Some companies will want short-term reactive space while they work out their strategy, without tying themselves to a long-term lease. Large companies also want to attract the best talent and retain it. You only have to look at the huge campuses that Google and Apple have in America, or the new Goldman Sachs office in London, to see that the head office is not extinct just yet.
Next, we have an article from Laura Conway and Emily Daly in our employment team about racism in the workplace. Companies can be liable if their employees do something that constitutes harassment under the Equality Act. But thinking about property, how does that work in properties where there are contractors and third parties, such as outsourced catering companies, security guards, or a landlord's reception in a multi-let building? This article explains all, and it gives some practical advice to companies so that they can take action to prevent harassment and discrimination claims from arising in the workplace.
Last but not least on our summary of this quarter's articles, I'm going to attempt to summarise the recent changes to the planning system, as set out far more eruditely than I could by partner Matthew Mainston and associate Tom Moritz from Wedlake Bell's planning team. Now, a lot of us in the commercial real estate sector will have a passing knowledge of the Town and Country Planning Use Classes Order 1987. In September 2020, broad changes were introduced to the use classes system, without the level of consultation that might be expected for such a radical shake-up of a long-established system. Not for the first time under this government, you might say. I couldn't possibly comment. The changes were subject to a legal challenge, which failed on the 17th of November 2020, so the changes are here to stay. For a broader explainer, I would recommend reading Matthew and Tom's full article. But the headline change is the introduction of a Class E. Now, Class E groups together a range of uses that were previously within Classes A1, A2 and A3, shops, professional services and restaurants, Class B1, offices, research and light industrial, parts of the old Class D1, clinics, health centres, creches and day nurseries, and parts of Class D2, gyms and indoor recreation use. The rationale behind the introduction of Class E was to help businesses in town centres to adapt and diversify, reinvigorating the local high street. Whether the aim of keeping town centres alive will be achieved will only become apparent in time, but the extent of the changes can't be underestimated. Changes of use that previously would have comprised development for the purposes of planning legislation are now exempt from the need for planning permission. For example, a restaurant could change use to a creche, and then a bank, or a shopping centre could change to flexible workspace, all without any requirement to obtain planning permission. Property owners and developers still need to take care that such changes of use are not restricted by other means. Existing planning permission should be scrutinised first, as the planning permission may contain conditions restricting change of use that the use classes order now permits. Furthermore, the kind of use changes I mentioned previously can't happen before the first use has been implemented. For example, if you have permission for a shop and want to change it within Class E to an office, then you must have first used your property as a shop before you change it to an office. In closing, the position remains watch this space as the government, planners and lawyers adapt to this recent change and the permutations it could create. I can scarcely believe it, but that brings us to the end of this episode of Wedlake Bell's Quarterly in Advance podcast. Thank you to all contributors for their great articles, but most of all, thanks to you, listener. It's nice to get something for free from a lawyer, I'm sure you'll agree. On that note, to coin a phrase, it's goodbye from Ben, and it's goodbye from me. Goodbye.
You just listened to the Wedlake Bell Legal Podcast. If you liked our episode and want to know more, then check out our website, www.wedlakebell.com. Wedlake Bell. Building relationships is at the heart of everything we do.